you know, I'm the super dad, you know what I mean? I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna do what it is or whatever it takes. I mean, if it's sitting in the front yard letting me paint my toenails, or we're playing dolls, or
I have to see that. I have to see that.
We stop traffic, you know. we stop traffic, people take pictures.
You're listening to the Jailhouse Prophets Podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. For today's conversation, we'll be joined by your host, Corey Martin, chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, Holly Young, tattoo removal technician and chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, and our special guest, Billy.
Okay, welcome back to Jailhouse Prophets. I think this is episode 5, and we have a special guest with us today who I'll introduce pretty soon. But our co-host for today is Holly Young. She's returning back for a second time in a row. She was here last time with us with Ashley, and she's back with us with Billy. Holly, of course, is our tattoo removal technician. She's sitting to my left. The tattoo removal laser is to my right. Billy's in front of me. Holly, welcome back.
Thank you.
And in front of me is Billy, our special guest today. Billy, welcome to the Jailhouse Prophets Podcast.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you asked me to do this.
Did you ever think you'd be on a podcast? Have you ever been on a podcast before?
Never, but I mean, I've been watching a bunch of Pandolin podcasts, so...
You would make a great podcast host and guest, I think. You have a lot of great stories.
Well, they might be some great stories, but they might have been a little bit of horrible life, you know, in life. But
You've lived a lot of life.
Yeah, lots to learn from it.
Okay, we've known each other for a while. When I first knew you, up until maybe earlier this year, you had a shaved head and no beard. Now you have a man bun.
Well,
how did that happen?
Well, you see... I don't know. I just kind of come to the conclusion after some things happened in my life that I was just going to be a different me.
Okay.
So that's where it came from.
Yeah. So that's just part of the new you.
Part of a new life.
Yeah. You had a fantastic beard and now it's gone. What happened to that?
Well, that's kind of a silly story, but my children and their moms have kind of joked on it. So I instantly shaved it and then my kids uh-huh. and then were like, sorry, Dad, you got to grow that back because you're just not right now. And I was like, what?
Man, I sympathize with you. Us guys who have wonderful beards, we don't get the respect that we deserve by our families.
Definitely don't. Definitely don't.
Okay, so we go back how far, Billy? When did we first meet? It's been a while. Decade,
it's
maybe?
At least.
Yeah.
At least decade. I mean, before you was the head jailhouse minister, I mean.
Yeah, we go back a little ways. What? So you said before we kind of went on air that you're in kind of a difficult season right now.
Oh, man.
So before we get into that, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
I mean, obviously, I'm in jail. I mean, I've had a life of choices of living in the flesh, I guess we could say. I had a really good childhood, to be honest with you.
Did you really? Did you grow up in Elkhart County?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Elkhart County. I mean, I grew up on the river with my grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, behind the white picket fence, or fed with the silver platter, you know, that whole kind of life. And then, I guess, I don't know, come to the point in time where I just thought I was grown, you know, a few things that, you know, my mom was going through in her life, you know, she said a few things to me and I just took it the wrong way.
Okay. So can I ask you, I didn't know this about you. You said you were raised by your grandparents and you just referenced your mom.
Yeah.
Are you close to your mom and dad? Were they a part of your life growing up?
My mother tried to be. She just had a lot of trauma that was undealt with in her life, like most of us do. She tried to be there as much as she could when she wasn't also living, and self-soothing is what I like to call it, actually.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
That's how we deal with our undealt pain and our undealt trauma. We self-soothe, you know, with drugs or whatever it may be. But for the most part, she was around, you know, quite a bit.
How much do you think undealt with trauma plays into incarceration, people who end up being incarcerated?
Well, I'd say every bit of it. Until I think when it comes to getting in trouble and making these choices that I've made, it's because in order to become something new, we have to come to the end of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're walking around not healed and not surrendered, let's just be honest. We're walking around broken. And when we're walking around broken, what do people do when you're broken? We break people.
Mm-hmm.
Save people. Change people, help change people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where, I mean, that's where I'm kind of at in my life right now, kind of still dealing with, you know, just the trauma throughout my entire life and my choices.
Yeah. How does somebody know when they've reached the end of their rope? Because I've known people, I mean, I know myself. There have been times where I thought I'm at the end of my rope, but apparently there was more rope. So I wonder, can you know that while you're there? Is it only something you can know in hindsight looking back on your life?
I think that you instantly know it because your mind, heart, and your body and soul is all on that same page. I think I've said this to you before, is once that is all in line with that, you just kind of know that you're to the end of yourself, you know, kind of out of, you know, like the Bible, you know, you can't pour, you know, new wine into the old wineskins, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So.
Well, Corey mentioned your man bun and your...
That's all we're back on this.
I want to go back to your appearance. Wow. I want to go back to your appearance. So I met you a few years ago when I first started as the tattoo removal technician. And I think we had one treatment in tattoo removal and you're back on my list. You do have lots of tattoos on your face and your neck and your hands. And I just wondered, what is your motivation for wanting your tattoos removed?
It's the way that my children get looked at. You know, like, you know, I've done most of my life, you know, in prison and behind bars. But it's the way my kids get looked at, that it's not their fault that they have a dad that looks like this. You know, it was my choices. Would I change it if it was just me? Probably not, because I am who I am today because of the way I look. I think it speaks for itself, because by when people look at me, you think of something completely different than what I really am. I think it's just because I want to be a new me, a new person for my children. I've been a stumbling block, you know, for the most people in my life, for all my life in their life, and it's just time to be a stepping stone instead of that stumbling block.
We hear that a lot, don't we, Holly? People wanting to get tattoos removed for the sake of their kids. That's a fairly common thing that we hear in here.
And I've heard you talk about your kids before. What is it like to parent from inside the jail?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Here we go with the emotional right off the bat, right?
Do you mind sharing how many children you have?
I have nine kids.
Okay.
Six grandchildren.
You don't look old enough to be a grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I'm old enough. No, I'm like, I appreciate that.
You know, I'll say real quick before you talk about that, I just came from an Inside Out Dads class in the program ward. And one of the things we always talk about at Inside Out Dads is having a family is difficult in the best of circumstances, right? Raising kids is difficult in the best of circumstances. And then you throw in, you know, adoption, stepkids, mixed families, incarceration, things just become more and more complicated, other things you have to work through. And there's no kind of, I'm not sure there's one overarching right way to be a parent when there are so many different scenarios out there. And so one of the things we always talk about in Inside Out Dads is we're there to support each other, to learn from our past and figure out in our own cases, in our own specific scenarios, what's the best way that we can continue being a parent with baggage from the past and, you know, things that we need to face in the future? So as we're all trying to figure out the best way to be a parent in unfortunate circumstances that are not ideal, to Holly's question, how do you do that from the inside?
I guess sometimes it's easier than other times, like it would be on the outside. I would say that it's the most difficult trying to give the father outlook on things why you're, you know, your dad's sitting in jail. Like, how can you, you know, with older kids, you know, how can we really know what to say? That the best thing is I can say this, is that I'm still not, you know, perfect at the end of the day. And that's actually a hard thing for me to do. And that's something I think I battle with, because I don't think I do a good job at it. But then again, I sit back and actually, you know, pray and think about this is, isn't all parents like are that we're all afraid of that, aren't we? Are we like we're all afraid?
Yeah, that's right? Not unique.
Like, aren't
to
we
you.
All afraid, even on the outside or inside? Like, man, am I really being the best dad I can be? So that's what I asked myself. And then most of the time I would give the answer or explanation to them is, you know, like I've been the good example of what not to do. So how about we try to do this, you know?
How does it affect your parenting when you get back out and you're with your kids? How does the interruption of incarceration affect how you parent once you're released and reunited with your family?
My kids aren't used to me being there. They're used to me being on this side. So sometimes they get a little rebellious. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're here now, but you know, how can you really have anything to say, Dad? Well, you're right. I don't know. It's just so different right now because now I try to inline and turn back to the Word of God. So if it goes against the Bible biblically, then it's wrong for me and you. And then I try to explain that as in, this is the reason why, because Jesus set the standard and the boundaries for us to live. To be honest with you, without that, I don't think I could really offer really good advice.
You said something interesting that I think says a lot about who you are. You said sometimes you get out and your kids say, well, who are you? You've been locked up for, you know, this many years of our lives. And you said, well, yeah, you're right. You're not defensive about it. I mean, I think it's powerful to acknowledge we've all done things, right, that have caused some harm in our past. And it's important to recognize that and to validate the way people are feeling. I think that says a lot about you that you're willing to say, yeah, you're right. I have made some mistakes and this is not the way that it should have been. And you have the right to feel that way.
That's definitely something I do. You know, I mean, I have to accept. Well, I mean, I guess I don't, but I do because it's how that, you know, me and my children get over it because like, okay, I was gone. I'm not there, but I am here now. So where do we go from here? How do we make this moment better? Or how would you like to make this moment better? Or how should we? I guess I could say that even my younger children are actually really teaching me how to be a better parent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you have video visits or phone calls with your kids?
Yeah, actually I do. That's one thing I can say I'm thankful for is like all my children and my children's mothers all stay pretty much in contact and
good.
They still let me be a dad on both sides, so that's actually really that's really important.
Yeah, that's something that some people don't have in here. All right, some guys or some people when they get locked up, they just lose communication completely with the outside. And don't have the opportunity to speak to their family. So I'm happy you have that opportunity.
Oh, Mom, I feel blessed wholeheartedly. It makes me emotional. You guys can see it. I mean, we are on this podcast, but with these tears in my eyes.
Going back to something Holly talked about earlier with your tattoos, and you talked about people, you know, looking at you and assuming certain things about you. You're a good example, probably, right? Somebody who might look a certain way. We might have preconceived ideas of people who have a lot of tattoos like you have. And it just keeps us from getting to know some really genuinely good people. And I think it's always a lesson for us to not prejudge people based on how we think they might be because they look a certain way. You're an emotional guy. You don't try to hide it.
No, I'm crying right now. Like, we'll just be honest for the podcast. Well, it's because when I think about those fathers that do miss that opportunity, that's the reason why they'd be so broken. And that caused them, that's some of that trauma in here that's when we make them bad choices. And I just feel so bad for them because it would help if you wouldn't be forgotten about.
Parenting is hard and we just need to show a lot of grace and mercy and compassion to ourselves and for other people who are, we're just all trying to figure this stuff out.
Going every time. I knew this was going to happen. Oh, it's
okay. I think it says a lot about you, though, that your kids' moms are willing to set up those visits. It does take time money,
it does
speak positively about you that they want you to be involved in your kids' lives.
And that's definitely true. Also, I mean, I'll admit too that you know that's one thing that they do say is when I am out there, you know, I'm the super dad. You know, what I mean, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna do what it is or whatever it takes. I mean, if it's sitting in the front yard, letting me paint my toenails, or we're playing dolls, or
I have to see that.
We stop traffic. You know, we stop traffic. People take pictures. You know, and it's like, wow, really?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, yeah, we're just having one of these days. You know.
Yeah. So you mentioned that. You don't know how much longer you'll be here, but you might be out in the next month or so, potentially. When you're, and you've mentioned earlier in this podcast how this isn't your first time here. You've been through this before. What's the hardest thing for you when you're released from the Elkhart County Jail?
Well, I would say this. I mean, since I am a different me and I've changed my life, the hardest thing, it's the physically being alone part, really. Because when you trying to be a parent or just being alone, you're really trying to walk a different life. That being alone, you get them intrusive thoughts from the devil, man. And we'll believe those, you know, like the devil and Satan will make us believe like we're no better than what we are. We're alone for a reason. We shouldn't be. And that causes us to run right back to the same addictions, the same patterns of life. I have to make sure that I get the right people around me, you know, the right group, you know what I mean? Because we're not created to be alone.
Yeah. How do you do that?
That's another good question. Well, to be honest with you, I'm just going to say, well, like I kind of call and lean on people like you, you know, like in order to have a different life, you need people to have people like, you got to be careful who you have speaking into your life. And you decide if you're not completely surrendered, you're just eventually you're going to fall back into following Satan or being with the same kind of people, the same woman or whatever it may be. So to surround yourself with people that are also in the same beliefs and religious beliefs and biblically just trying to live their life and having a mentor and having those people speak into your life, because obviously they're doing something right. And obviously I've tried it my way and it's never worked. So
do you think you have people like that in your life when you get out? Do you have enough people in your life that will backfill or make up for the people that you have to cut out of your life?
As of this moment right now, I could say, no, I don't. You know, like I've been trying to put them in there. You know, like even right now, the person right now that's in my life is my oldest kid's mother. Because, I mean, we're alone in here physically. I mean, even though, you know, we're not, you know, like I tried to, you know, I definitely pour myself and lean into the word of God. But we also need that companionship too. You know, there's a difference in physically talking to somebody and being on the video visit or being on that phone. Just not the same, guys. It's really not. Let's be honest.
Right.
That's one of the things I'm scared of, you know, is that I won't be able to get the foundation of people that I need around me. And, you know, that does scare me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Healing happens best maybe in community, right? Maybe that's maybe not the only way it can happen, but man, I'd have to believe it's much easier to heal and move forward when you have a bunch of people around you who are supporting you, who are healthy, who are encouraging. It would be really hard to do that by yourself.
I absolutely agree. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, if I don't get those people around me like that, and the other people that I was around are going a completely different direction. Like, you're not even on the same path as me. You're not believing the same way, you know, so that's definitely a worry.
Well, but is there a responsibility for us on the outside to be inviting to people who have been formerly incarcerated, inviting people to be in part of our community?
I would try to have people that are there, that we know are there, that we can, you know, and when we do get out or get to work release, that we can text and be like, hey, you know, like, hey, would you help me do this life coach or this mentoring thing? Because I'm lost in life. You know what I mean? Because that's how I feel. Like, on a daily basis, even at work release or when we get out of here, it's like a day-to-day, moment-to-moment kind of thing for people like me that have done a life of prison, a life of jail time, you know, or life on the installment plan, I'll call it. And we're so scared to even ask for that help. So maybe I think that if we knew someone was there, maybe reached out a little bit, or there was people there to reach out a little bit first, or both ways, that would help.
When people leave incarceration and they know, okay, I need to change the people who are around me, where do you start? What places do you go to? Who do you call? Where are those groups of people that you think, okay, these are potentially my new people that I need to reach out to?
If they're not going to live their life or their standards by the Bible and biblically, then they probably really shouldn't be in your life. And that's even your kinship and your real family sometimes you're going to have to cut off, because eventually it's only going to lead to one thing, you know, and it's not healthy. So My immediate family was my wife and my children. That became my responsibility under God's eyes in that vow, and I did that. Yeah. You know, we have to replace, like, all these hindering habits that I've had before in the past. I've had to replace with holy habits from hindering habits.
Yeah.
And that in itself is hard, but it takes time. So
habits take time to undo, yeah. and habits take time to form.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like both. Like, in order to, like, yeah, to forming these holy habits, you know, from hindering habits has just been so time consuming, but also worth it too.
You talk a lot about your faith. Where did that originate?
Originated? Okay, this is a really good question. We could really have many podcasts about this, because obviously you guys know I was a Muslim at one point in time for 11 years.
Mm-hmm, I know.
It originated, I mean, the way or the Christianity has been around since I've been a child. You know, my grandpa was a preacher for 44 years. So it's been around knocking on my door the whole time. Like, Jesus does knock on the door. You just got to open it. It came from within the last December, my mom passed away.
Mm-hmm. Whew. And you were here when that happened.
And I was here.
Tough. Yeah.
I was definitely here. You came down.
Yeah.
I had to decide to put my mom off the ventilator. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do, but it had to be done, because if we don't know that pain, we don't know the goodness of God. And something in somebody's life has to happen, because you're not going to change your ways unless, you know, like I said, if we don't know the good, if the pain doesn't happen, you know, mm-hmm. the bad or the good. And it came because I'm in the darkest season of my life, sitting around lost. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you're in this and you're married, my wife had turned her back. And I'm like, well, who do you turn to? And it's one of those things where, like, you get to question and, like, you don't even want to live anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew what that suicidal, not that I wanted to, but I'm like, man, I really understand why mm-hmm. people can come to the end. And then, like I said mm-hmm. before, you're not going to be a new you until you come to the end of yourself. And at that moment, I knew. And God of the universe calls your name. You hear it. You can't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, saying that, it's a daily thing. It finally came about. That's been, just like I said, been knocking on the door for years. And I know now in my life, all these things and the suffering, it had to happen because of the goodness of God. That sounds crazy, but it's true. My daily routine is that I get up and I stay in the Word of God for most of the day. I've also actually... This is going to be silly, but I mean, I've even give up all form of, like, secular rap music and things of that. Like, if it's not Christian rap or if it's not gospel based, I don't want it in my life. Mm-hmm. So certain parts of my life is a radical change when it comes yeah. from Jesus and God. And also saying that, I mean, yeah, you know, people we question is, well, if God really wants to stop you, why wouldn't he? Well, the reason why is because if God snapped his fingers and just stopped you from doing that, you wouldn't know too that we'd have to rely on God. You know, if he just fixed you all the way you was, why would you need God anymore?
Yeah, God does seem to really, he seems to value process
yeah.
and struggle.
Oh, he loves it. I mean, that's what, as being a different person, we don't mm-hmm. understand. I mean, that's the reason why, like, you know, it's give us this day our daily bread. Well, what was that really doing? Well, that was God letting us know that we needed to rely on him in devotion every day. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that fulfills us. You know what I mean? Drink from that water and we won't thirst. You know, eat from that bread and we'll be fulfilled. So.
Well, there were times, I remember when you and I would talk in the wards, and there were times where you were Muslim. And times where you were Christian. But I always remember thinking, like, I'm never really worried about Billy. I just always felt like you were so genuine and you were so earnestly seeking the truth that you were somebody who was easy to kind of just say, to kind of hand over to God and say, oh, Billy's going to be great. Billy is figuring stuff out. We're all figuring stuff out. But you're always somebody who, at least when I've experienced you, kind of wear your heart on your sleeve. And so you just always came across to me as somebody who is genuine and earnest and seeking. And I just knew, I always felt that the Holy Spirit is going to do what the Holy Spirit is going to do with Billy. And it's a privilege for me to be kind of along for the ride to see how this goes.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm glad, because I wasn't really, I'll be honest with you, I really wasn't sure myself, really. I was more of, I think, kind of scared of the truth at first. Maybe was scared of what comes with the truth and following God. And then once you really do, you kind of figure out, like, you know, there is no other way. Like, just to be at where I am at now, which I agree with you. Like, I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I think it's because I have so many daughters, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to point the blame somewhere.
That'll do it.
Maybe, you know, but, I mean, I think that does have a big difference. But it's something that, you know, when I was raised by my grandparents, my mom was that way. And my grandma, too. You know, they just always wore their hearts on their sleeve, and we just had a big heart.
Yeah.
And then I guess also now of me just having a changed heart, like, wearing my heart on my sleeve now is even worse than it ever was before. I mean, like, the other day, I got teary-eyed because I was so, this is going to be a good one. But now that I've changed, I'm worried about people's salvation. That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, well, I think when we experience something, right, when you experience the peace of the kingdom of God, that's something we want for everybody, right?
And it is.
Especially, so, but what's so interesting, Billy, is you're experiencing this now, and you're saying you're in a hard season of life, right? Man. You've lived through things, you've experienced things, you've seen things that are hard. And even in the midst of all that, you're saying that you can experience the peace of God.
I think that's the only time you're going to.
That's like, interesting.
It really is.
Right.
And that's one of them things, like you just said, that I don't know if I could put into words.
Yeah.
But I can say this, yeah. And sitting here and I'm crying, but I'm in the darkest season of my life. But this is even crazier. I'm more at peace and more free than I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in the darkest season of my life.
Well, if Jesus is referred to as a Prince of Peace,
yes.
And if that's the case, that should be something that we experience when we're walking with Him.
Even in the darkest
times. In the darkest hours, even in your darkest seasons of life.
You said maybe only in the dark. I mean, that's what's really interesting. That's maybe something that we miss on the outside sometimes.
I really believe that. I think that you can really only true that feel real peace when you're in the darkest hour of your life, because that's when, I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself, is that that's when God and Jesus really did reveal Himself to me. Mm-hmm. Like, look, you're going through this. This is all happening. Because why? Because I got the greater plan for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know, I know the plans that I have for you, declares mm-hmm. the Lord. Yep. You know, the plans of welfare, plans of a future, not of evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. And a future, I think, is an important thing for people to realize they have, especially people who are in here and getting out, or maybe even not getting out for a long time, to know that there's still a future for them. Billy, to close up, I'm going to encourage people. So you may be out in the next month or so, possibly.
Oh, I mean, right? I'm definitely going to be about here, yeah.
Right. So people on the outside might see you at some point in Goshen or Elkhart. So I'm going to encourage people. If you see somebody on the street with a magnificent man bun, covered in tattoos.
A great smile.
He might be crying. We don't know. Go up and say hi to him, because you are a blessing to the people you're around, Billy.
Absolutely.
And I hope more people, when you get out, have an opportunity to meet you.
Yeah, I definitely welcome anybody too. Yeah, that'd be my pleasure. You know, God bless.
You've been listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and like. Jailhouse Prophets is produced by Nimblewit Studios, with original music by Calvin Martin at Window View Studios. For more stories and information on what's going on at the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The Elkhart County Jail Ministry is a 501c3. If you would like to support this ministry with a donation, you can do so at elkhartcountyjailministry.org/donate.